Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Yachting International Radio. I'm your host, Gabriella. And today on Diversity in Yachting, we have Ana Carolina Santos joining us from Brazil. Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I wanted to speak to you because you're about to enter the yachting industry. And you were like, are you sure? Because I'm not working on a boat yet. But I think it's really important to hear people that are coming up, especially people of color that are coming into the industry. I just want to hear about, you know, what brought you into this world, what interested you in this world, and, you know, what makes you want to work on boats. But first, can you please introduce yourself and then just tell us what you do and like where you live?
Okay. So I'm from Brazil. I'm a graphic designer. I work online as a freelancer. And I live in São Paulo.
São Paulo. I cannot wait until I learn Portuguese and we can just speak in Portuguese all day. I think it's such a beautiful language. Not enough people speak it. More people should. So how long have you been in graphic design?
2 years now.
2 years. And what did you do before that?
Oh, many things.
I feel like I'm the same way. I've had like 9 lives.
Yeah. I worked in the as secretary for a business office. Mm-hmm. And I work in the mall as a sailor. Mm-hmm. And then I jump in the graphic design.
Nice. Okay, so you've worked in sales, so you're good with people and you know how to sell things, mm-hmm. right? So you have all this customer service experience. You worked in a business office as a secretary, so you're very organized, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could be a purser, you can be a chief stew, you can be a provisioner. There are so many things you can do with those skills. They're very transferable into yachting. And now you're in graphic design. So you make websites. Can you code? Do you do coding as well?
I did in the college, but for work, no. And I'm not doing that because it's too hard.
It's so crazy hard, right? Like to be an engineer online, like don't even get me started. I have no idea how that works at all. So you're very, you know, talented, obviously, and creative if you can be a graphic designer. So I want to know, when did you hear about yachting? How did you hear about yachting?
I was using my Instagram, and then I saw a Brazilian girl that she worked in yachting. And I was like, wow, that's nice.
Of course.
Yeah, I started to look at her photos and I was like, oh, I want to do that.
Oh, God, don't believe everything you see online.
Yeah.
I only post like, you know, me in the Bahamas or like me. I don't post when I'm sleep deprived, you know, been working 16 hours a day. But it's a balance. Like it can be hell and it can be heaven.
Yeah.
So you first heard about it on Instagram, because I found out about it online as well. So in your real life, did you meet anybody that works on boats, or have you seen them in Sao Paulo or in Brazil at all?
No, it's not so normal here. It's not many people, Brazilian, working on that.
Right.
So that was the first girl that I saw that is Brazilian, that is working in yachting.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen them.
But I don't know. I didn't see them yet.
I think that there is one that, oh, duh. So there, you know the show Below Deck? Have you heard about it? The TV show?
No.
Oh, they don't have it there. Okay, so there's a TV show about yachting. And this upcoming season, they're having a Brazilian girl on there.
Nice.
And she's like the only Brazilian I've ever seen in yachting as well. So I think that the amount of yachties, there's very few Brazilian, mm-hmm. especially like Afro-Brazilian.
Yeah.
You know, that's totally like So if there's 10 Brazilians, only maybe one or two are going to be Afro-Brazilian, right?
Right.
So I don't know how it works in Brazil. I haven't been there, obviously. I only know a lot about the culture because I used to dance samba. And I tried to learn Portuguese myself, I tried to teach myself Portuguese. But is the culture there just, you're either white Brazilian or you're black Brazilian or African Brazilian? Like, how does it work there? Are there different races, like indigenous, black and white, or how does it work?
The racism exists here, and sometimes you will not see many black people working, for example, in TV, or some positions is more white, you know.
Like a doctor or a lawyer.
You will see, but not many, you
Okay.
know.
Well, you and I are light skinned. So would we be working in higher positions or how does that work? Are you black? Do you consider yourself black? I
No.
don't
So,
know.
in Brazil, it's not so how it is in the United States, because here we it's a mix, you know, between white and black. For example, my grandfather, he was black, but my grandmother, she was white. So in my family, my brothers and my sisters, we are brown.
Right.
Because
Okay.
we are brown. We are not white and not black.
Yeah. I
But
understand.
for example, my hair, it's curly.
Yeah.
So
Okay.
we have some parts that is from both.
Okay.
But about the color here, I think I'm not in a position to talk about that so well, because my color don't give me so much problem, my skin color.
Yeah.
So, but in the streets, yeah, we can sometimes see bad things happening, and yeah.
I understand. I know I understand what you're saying. I've noticed because I'm light skinned and I'm only half black that maybe I have had some privileges because of that. And I'm very aware that I am privileged and that I have had opportunities other black people wouldn't have. So it is definitely a reality and it is a thing. But you know, we do have to be mindful about that and aware, right? So, with being on this topic, have you felt that any like have you felt nervous or you know, hesitant about joining yachting because you may be perceived as black and maybe that would get in your way? Or like in Brazil, you're privileged and you're light skinned, so you have different a different reality. Are you afraid that that will be an issue or that it will not at all?
At first, I was kind of scary, because everyone that I was seeing that is on the industry was white, and most of them were blonde. And I was like, I don't know if that is for me.
Yeah.
I started to look on Instagram. No, I need to find someone that is more like me. And I started to look and look and look, and I found. And I was okay. So,
Where did you find people of color working on boats?
I think I saw a post from another girl, and then she's a blogger, and she posts about a black girl. And I went to her Instagram, and I started to find more and more and more, and I find you and the melatonin.
Yes, melanin. Yes, thank you, Katie. That's my friend Katie who started that page. So good. I love to hear that. That is so great because that's the whole point of having this show and those Instagram accounts that are inclusive, because we want people like you with all of your skills to know that you can work in this industry as well. You know, you can work in this world as well, that we're here, we exist. It's not just white people. And that makes me so happy. So what is your next step? So you're like, okay, there are people of color in yachting. I want to do that now. What is your next step? Do you have to go to a maritime school and get your certificates, or have you gotten them yet? Where are you at in the process?
So now I need to do the NG1, and then the STWC.
STCW?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I also want to do a class of the hospitality. And so I need to do, I want to do this degree and then start to find a job, but I'm planning to go back to the United States
in April
or May.
Perfect. So you'll come to, where are you gonna go, Fort Lauderdale?
Yes.
Okay. Nice. Have you chosen a school that you would like to go to yet?
Not yet. I'm between two. The Blue Water and the other ones, I forgot the name now.
PYT or MPT?
No, wait. I have the name. But I forgot.
I mean, there are like five or six.
Yeah.
I think maybe five schools in Fort Lauderdale that are all MCA accredited and reputable, that have been there for ages. Which one? Did you find it?
Yes. So it's the Professional Yacht Master Training, USA. Okay.
Yeah, so PYT. So,
okay.
It's just a long name, so we just call it PYT. So, great. So are you going to stay, when you go to Florida to get your training, are you going to stay in a crew house?
Yeah, I will try to find one that I can pay for.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of crew houses, and that's why crew houses, I think, are so amazing. Some of them are $200 per week, which if you're day working. So this is the whole point. So when you day work on a boat, you walk up to a boat at the marina and you say, hey, do you need any day workers? Do you need a hand, right? It's called dock walking. It's illegal if you're not an American citizen. But if you accidentally meet someone on the dock and they need help, you can work on a boat just for the day. So it's like 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and you get $160 cash at the end of the day. You use that money to pay for your crew house for the whole week. To me, some of them are not very nice, but to me, that's pretty cheap. If you make that money in one day to pay for the whole week, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and $200 a week is the cheapest one. So it might not be, or 150 maybe a week, but you wouldn't want to stay there, to be honest. But let's just stay at 200 a week. They're not the nicest accommodations, but you meet other people in the industry. Some people will be getting their certificates just like you, and they're going to school with you. Or some people will be already working, like me. I stay at crew houses still. I have experience. So you're meeting people that are already working, and there might be a person in your crew house that's like, hey, well, my boat needs another stew or another deckhand. Why don't you come? And boom, just like that, you're working. You know, and if you're a nice person, you work hard, you have a good personality, you know, people notice that, and it's very valuable in our industry. So people will hire you just because they like you, even if you don't have experience. But because they like you, they'll be willing to train you anyway. You know, so to me, it's very hard not to be able to work. If you can't find a job after staying at a crew house and getting your certificates, then there's probably something wrong with you. You know, like... there's just so much work out there is what I'm saying. So it's really hard not to get a job. So what are you excited about most in joining the industry?
I think so. In 2019, I was traveling around the United States, working in hostel and living in the hostel with so many different people, and it was an amazing experience. And I want to back do that again sometime. And then when I saw the yachting industry, I look for that kind of living the hostel, because everyone is from somewhere.
Yeah.
Everyone's different from another, and you are traveling.
Exactly.
So
exactly like that.
What I like to do, and I like to meet new people. I like to work with different people, because you can learn so much from them. Mm-hmm. That's what I am most excited. It's to meet new people in new places and work.
Yes. And you know what? I used to travel, backpack, and work and live in hostels myself. And that was when I decided, I want to do this for a living. How can I do this for a living? Uh-huh. And I went online, how to work and travel and make money.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, being a yacht stewardess popped up. And it took me 7 years after I learned about yachting to actually start to do it. So, it's definitely like living and working in a hostel. It's the same, like with your coworkers. I mean, not with the guests. The guests are in their own world.
Yeah.
Like, they are literally in their own world. They live in a different society. They have a different worldview. They're in their own world. But you and your coworkers living and working together is exactly like backpacking and living in a hostel, especially because, you know, your rooms are like this big. You know, you have to like get along with everyone. It is very comparable to that lifestyle, a backpacker's lifestyle, except much cleaner.
Oh, yeah,
because you know, when you live in a hostel, it's kind of like you feel dirty when you get out of the shower. You know, it's not like that on a boat, depending on who you are rooming with, because some of these people are just like, who raised you? You know, like, did you never have to make a bed in your life? I don't get it. But do you personally think, if you didn't know me yet and you didn't find that brown girl's Instagram, would you have decided to join yachting?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's something that I really want. And even if I didn't find it, I would try.
Good. I love it.
Yeah. But what was, I was more afraid, it was about my hair, because I used it to straighten my hair, but I stopped last year and I started to use my hair curly. And I was kind of scared about like backing again to straighten my hair. And I didn't want that, but I would give it a try.
I understand completely. Wow, the fact that we even have to think about that. All of the white people that work on yachts with blonde hair, straight blonde hair and blue eyes, never have to think about any of this. They never, maybe I shouldn't apply for this job because my hair never crosses their mind. And it really like breaks my heart that we even have to think about this. Look at this, you know, like, my hair, when I'm at work, my hair is like the first thought on my mind, because on a boat, you have to take a very short shower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it takes me 30 minutes to untangle my hair. And, you know, all the hair that comes out and maybe goes down the drain, I can't catch all of it. I have a lot of anxiety around showering on a yacht, because someone's waiting for me, someone's knocking on the door, the engineer who has to unclog the drain if it gets clogged, it's always going to be my fault. Everyone's going to look at me and be like, look who clogged the drain again, because I'm the only one on the boat with the hair like this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of anxiety around my hair. I like to wear braids. I wear my hair in braids all the time, so I don't have to have that anxiety on the boat. And the salt water, the sun, the water that we make on the boat is very damaging to curly hair. Very damaging. So don't wet your hair if you don't have to. Okay. Bring like an Evian water and put it in a spray bottle and spray your hair with purified water. Don't use the water on the boat for your hair. So when I wear my braids to protect my hair, then I'm worried about if people will think I don't look professional.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they associate protective hairstyles with being low class or ghetto.
Uh-huh.
So there is a constant stress about how I'm being perceived with the way I wear my hair. And it's just unfair that we have to even think about that. And it's so upsetting to me to hear you say that. That makes me want to cry. I'm like, no, you like, don't say that. Don't damage your beautiful hair. Don't straighten it to please other people.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm trying to normalize afros and braids on boats. So we don't have to worry about this anymore. It's unfair. If this, you know, Caucasian woman can wear her hair down all day at work and be like, why can't I? You know, it's just, it shouldn't be something that you even think about. And I'm sorry that that thought even came into your mind, because it doesn't matter how well you can do your job with how well your hair, like what your hair is doing, you know?
Yeah.
Upset me. I'm pissed. Well, I just want to let you know not to worry at all. I think you're going to be fine. You're going to be great. And you're bilingual. Wait, do you speak just two languages, English and Portuguese, or do you speak other languages?
I understand Spanish, but I don't speak yet. But I want to start learning.
Well, I feel like if someone speaks to you in Spanish and you respond in Portuguese, you guys can communicate, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Also, I didn't ask, do you want to be on the interior or exterior? Do you want to be a stewardess or a deckhand or an engineer, or what is your plan?
I want to be in the interior. I thought about both, about the deckhand or stewardess. Mm-hmm. I think I would like both. But I will start in the as a stewardess.
Okay. And, you know, whether you're on the exterior or at interior, you have to start at the very bottom, right? So when you enter the industry, you are going to be the third stewardess or a junior stewardess, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll be probably in the laundry room
90%
of your life, washing clothes and ironing. That's about it. So how do you feel about doing those domestic tasks? Like, are you used to it? Did you grow up doing laundry and cleaning? I mean, I didn't have any maids, but like, I was pretty lazy as a child, so I didn't learn how to do any of that until way later in life, probably too late in life. How do you feel about doing that stuff? Like, are you good at it already? Like,
yes, I'm good since always. My mom, she taught me and my brothers and sisters to take care of our clothes since we are very young. To make our own beds, to clean the house, to cook, everything.
Okay, you're go mom.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the hostel, I was used to clean the hostel. At first, I was cleaning and doing the housekeeping and the laundry too. We needed to take care of that too. And
so make sure that you put that on your CV when you're ready to make your resume.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you put housekeeping experience.
Yeah.
And you put the names of the hostels that you worked at.
Okay.
Because that's very like valuable. Like, I think people would rather hire someone that's done housekeeping before than someone like me. This is why I'm becoming a deckhand. It's just, that ship has sailed, literally. I'm not going to get better at it. But people would rather have, like, I have a lot of hospitality experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm good at service. But you can't do service on a yacht until you've graduated to the next level, right? So when you become a second stew or a service stew. So you have to be a laundry stew before you can be a service stew.
Mm-hmm.
So if you and I were going for the same job, people would probably hire you over me because you have housekeeping experience. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, you need a strong housekeeper on a yacht because it's, first of all, it's big as hell. So there's probably like at least five staterooms, right? Mm-hmm. Think about all of the towels and all of the linens and the guest clothing that also needs to be washed and hung and air dried and ironed. It is so much for one person that you will be working 12 to 14 hours a day just doing laundry. And you'll still have extra because you have to do the crew laundry, the captain's laundry. It's just a lot of work. So if you already have strong housekeeping skills, it's going to be easy for you. It's going to be like, oh, yeah, I used to do this at home growing up. Like, whatever, I got this. For me, I'm like, oh, shoot me. Just kill me now. I'm jumping overboard. Because in my mind, it's like an impossible task that's probably never going to get done. For someone that can, and like maybe serving guests, serving billionaires might be something that makes you nervous. You're like, ugh.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't look at me. Yeah. Don't talk to me. But for me, I'm like, well, hello, everyone. Here's your beverage. Because I've done that for 15 years on land. So we have different strengths. And I think that's why it's important to hire different, like a very diverse type of people. Because what if there's a guest that speaks Portuguese only and no one else speaks Spanish or Portuguese? You're going to get pulled out of the laundry room. And someone's going to be like, here, talk to him, ask him what he wants. And you're going to be able to pull that out of your back pocket. And that might make the tip for the whole team better because that client was so happy that at least one person spoke Portuguese on the boat. You know, it can go so many ways. And it's great to have people with different strengths. Don't put me in the laundry room, but you can put Anna in the laundry room and she'll kill it. You know? I will probably burn everything and ruin everyone's laundry because it's happened before. My chief stew was like, how do you not know how to do this? And I was like, well, you know, I've never been trained. She's like, what are you talking about? You're 30 years old. You should know how to do laundry. It has nothing to do with being trained. And I'm like, well, that's judgmental. First of all, you don't know me. You don't know my life. Rude. But she was right. Like, these are very valuable skills to have. Mm-hmm. In life. Just in life. Not even on a boat. Just in life. You know? Can you cook?
Yes. Yes. So I like
pão de queijo.
Yes. I used to do that with my mom. Like, My mom used to sell that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, my God. I learned how to say, because I wanted to go to Brazil. So I was like, how do I, like, order food? Because that's all I care about. Eu quero frango frito.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Eu quero pão de queijo. That's perfect. All. That's all. I think I could survive in Brazil for a month with those two phrases.
Yeah.
I want fried chicken and I want cheese. That's all I need to know. I'll be fine. You know? Anyway, so in conclusion, when are you going to Florida? I know that the travel restrictions are crazy right now and there's a pandemic. What do you think will be feasible for you to get to Florida to do your training?
So what I will do now is that I will go to Mexico and then do a quarantine there for 15 days and then try to go to the United States. So I'm planning to go to Mexico in April, stay there for 15 days and then go to Florida, but I also need to do a week quarantine when I arrive in the United States. So that.
If you go to the Caribbean side of Mexico, so make sure you go to like Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Cancun.
Yeah, it's where
so I'm close to Florida. Okay. And in Florida, they say you have to quarantine, but like in reality, who's going to keep track of that? Honestly, all you should do to take care of yourself, because you can't go to school and you can't work if you're sick.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you need a test to enter the States, right?
Yeah.
So you take a test in Mexico. You go to Florida, take another test. Stay in your hotel for 3 days. Make sure you don't feel weird. And go to school. No one's going to keep track of, like, we don't have that in place yet here. Like, we're not that advanced because I have to go to Florida for work. And, you know, like, no one was, I would get an annoying text, like, make sure you're quarantining. I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I have to go to work. So, bye. But I do get tested a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay attention to, like, how I feel. Because for me, if I go to the bar, and then I go to the club, and then I go to a restaurant, and then I go to CVS pharmacy, and then I will feel personally bad. I will feel bad if I get sick and thinking about all the people that I came into contact with. I would feel bad as a human being. I'd be like, damn, I'm such an asshole, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, as long as you're being aware, taking care of yourself, you're going to be able to go from Cancun to Florida and go to school and you're going to be fine. So, and April is a pretty good time. May and April is a pretty good time to go. I would say probably April. It's hot as fuck there though.
Yeah, I lived there in Pompano Beach for 1 month, and
in April it is so hot, specifically April. And I know this because I moved to Miami like 7 years ago in April. Wow. And I was like, I stopped wearing makeup. I stopped doing my hair. I was just like, I can't do this. Like, I was melting all the time. But that means that you're going to go to the beach and get a nice tan. So, I mean, it's a toss up. Anyway, so I'm going to wrap this up and just say that I think you're going to do great. And I'm really happy for you. I'm excited for you. Thank you so much for your time.
And, thank you.
You know, if you have any questions about what you should do or your next steps, you can always ask me or Mermaid Katie. She's very helpful and very supportive. So we're here. We're here to support you, encourage you, and help you get into the industry, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. It was
You're welcome, Anna. It was so nice talking to you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Diversity in Yachting on Yachting International Radio. I'm your host, Gabriela Barragan, and this is Ana Carolina Santos. Thank you so much for your time.